Well, you better get in gear, because if that person is able to get into where you're at, their ultimate goal is to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's why they're there, right, is to kill you. And so at that point, you have a right to defend yourself.
This is not a test. MUSC Health's Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast, designed for your busy life, arming you with the knowledge and skills when faced with uncertainty.
This is not a test. This is first Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast. I am Eric Madrinsky, the Ambulatory Emergency Manager. I'm joined here by Brian Wood, Lieutenant at Public Safety and our University Emergency Manager, and both of our really cool returning guests again. We have Lieutenant Dan Schultz from MUSC Public Safety and Victor Buzkirk, also known as Buzz, from North Charleston PD. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So this is Run, Hide, Fight. And I know, I mean, it seems pretty simple, but it has to be more than just run, hide, fight, right? Like, what does run mean? Like, what are you actually supposed to do? What does hide mean? Are you supposed to be more than just hide behind a door with the lights off? And ultimately, if you had to fight, what does that actually mean too? So,
well, I hate run, hide, fight. I've been, like Buzz, I've been teaching active shooter education, active shooter training for a number of years. It's one of those things that kind of stuck. And if we could go back in time, we would change it, because what does run mean? Hide is the worst thing in you could possibly imagine.
So I'm glad you said that, because I hate it as well, but I was being polite and I was going to roll with it. But I'm glad you said you hate it, because I hate the terminology.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and what does fight mean? Like, we don't want you to fight. And I always say this in active shooter training. We're not telling you to be like the Notre Dame leprechaun, where you put up your dukes. This is not what we want. And so if we break these things down, right, you're in your workplace, you hear shots fired. It's something you've never heard in your workplace, right? Recognize, react, and refuse. Your first instinct should be to escape. Escape to safety. Now, what is your definition of safety? What is my definition of safety?
Well,
it does not matter. So I tell people, if your definition of safety is running to Indiana and you're safe, I'm good with that.
Give me a call when you get there.
Yeah. I'm happy with that. Let us know. And, you know, we'll, you know, somebody's definition might be to run around the block. What we care about is you get yourself out of harm's way. So escape harm. You're in an active threat environment. You didn't ask to be there. You didn't wake up in the morning and say, hey, you know what? I want to be involved as a victim in an active threat or an active shooter. You did not want that. So run equals escape.
So the other thing with that is, you know, don't just run blindly into the wind, right? You look for things to put between you and the threat. You know, look for cars, structures, buildings, things like that. We went to the Somerville Parade. We had our kids there, and I had to go back to the car for something. And, you know, in my mind, I started thinking, this is a horrible scenario right here, right? This is prime pickings for somebody to do something crazy. Mm-hmm. All these people congested in one area, limited routes of being able to get away from anything. So anyway, I go back to the car and I get whatever I need to do. And I come back and I told my wife, I said, listen, if something happens, I want you to get out of here. But this is where I want you to go. Go behind the building that we're in front of, because there's an alleyway that will protect you from anything that's going on out here. Use that as your means of escape, and then go back to the car and I'll meet you there, you know? So it's thinking ahead of time as well. What would I do? Mental script a little bit of, if I do need to get out of this area, what can I do? What can I use to make sure I get to safety? So that building was a perfect example. Put that between you and the threat.
Mm-hmm. I use this example all the time in my training. So go to a concert with my wife and it's open seating. You could sit down wherever you want, and we get there. And she looks at me and she's like, where are we going to sit? Because she already knows how I'm thinking, what my mindset is. My mindset is escape, right? Because I'm thinking the same thing you're thinking. There's a huge crowd of individuals. There's going to be stampedes towards the exit. God forbid something happens. So what my mindset is at this concert is not the seats that could give me the best, you know, look at the band that's playing. It's not where I can hear the music the best. It's where I can enjoy the concert, right? Because I'm not, we're not asking people to be crazy. We're asking people just to have this mental rehearsal in their mind. So I'm looking for the seat that's going to allow us to enjoy the concert. But at the first sign of things, my wife and I are the first to get to safety. Yeah. And that's and that's getting to safety.
I also like to put in, it's not just one route, but possibly two routes.
Yeah.
Because that one route may be congested even more after the incident itself, so you may figure out an alternative route. But then we went to a, I guess you could say, a tabletop training not too long ago where they didn't give a destination location, because I like how you said we're going to go meet back at the car. Especially when it comes to like a working environment, you always want to make sure it's a try to do a designated location if it's feasible of work, but obviously out of the media area where everybody could get together and possibly do a head count. Or, you know, hey, my wife's here, my kid's here, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to make sure everybody's on that same page, because then you can get, you can kind of get more control of what you have going on versus staying out with the chaos.
And that's what we're teaching our ambulatory folks of, is that reunification spot. The first thing is way different than a meeting spot for a fire or evacuation out of the building. Right. You're not going to go stand in a parking lot.
Yeah. Correct.
We want you to go to the reunification spot. But that's after the fact. You go and get safe.
I mean, right, 100%.
You know, go somewhere, get safe, call 911 if you can, you know, that type of thing. And then once the police are in the area and things are being taken care of, let's meet back at that reunification spot.
The other two things, and it builds off of what Buzz said. You're in an active threat, an active shooter. Take a second. Don't run with the crowd. We are crowd creatures.
Creature of habits.
Yeah, we are, like, we see everybody running this way, and you're thinking, oh, they must know something better than we know. Don't run with the crowd. They might not. They might be running into harm's way. I mean, that happens a lot in active shooter scenarios, especially in Vegas. And I mean, there's countless examples of that happening. So take that extra second. The other thing we want you to know, which is really critically important, is when a gun is fired in a hallway, that sound bounces off that hallway wall, the opposite side. So you think that that gunfire is coming from the left. It's actually coming from the right. Mm-hmm. And the sound is echoing, bouncing off of that building. So it bouncing off of that wall to make you think that it's to your left. So now you're running to your right. Everybody else is running to their right. And that could be exactly where the shots are coming. So take that first second, and we go through that in survivor's mindset of understand all of these things that are going to happen. Your heart is going to bounce out of your chest. You're going to try to convince yourself, and you're going to try to convince others that it's not real, it's not happening. You're going to say, oh, what if I react like it's an active shooter and then it's not, and everybody's going to make fun of me? You know, these are all things that are going to go through your head. We understand that that's going to happen, but take that second to kind of get rid of all that as best as you possibly can. Have as many safe routes of egress as possible. One of our biggest hills to climb in active shooter is, what happens if that elevator's out? Do you know where the fire exits are in your building?
At,
Do you know where the stairwells are? Like, that's it sounds silly to us, but the reality is, if we went out to not just here at MUSC, but anywhere, like, if this entranceway or exitway is blocked, what are you using? I think there's something back there.
Well, and do you know what's on the other side of that stairwell? You know, is it going to lead you down into an enclosed space that you have no exit?
Right.
So you got to know your exits, know what's on the other side of that exit as well.
Which we call dead end. Yeah. We call that a dead end in active shooter training. We don't want you to run into a dead end. The number one dead end is a bathroom. Do not run into a bathroom. Don't go into a bathroom. There's nothing. There's no movable furniture in there. There's no windows in the bathroom. Yeah. Not 99 times out of 100. There's no other means of escape in a bathroom. Most bathroom doors you cannot lock, you know, so that's a dead end. The same way that stairwell that might lead you to the basement where you can't get anywhere out of there, that's a dead end.
The other thing is there's very little things you can find to defend yourself if it comes to that inside of a bathroom. You can improvise, don't get me wrong, but you don't have a lot of options.
Well, let's pick that apart. You know, we talk about mental rehearsals and talking about all this before and, you know, understanding where I could go if I had to hide somewhere, right? Because first off, we want you
to hide.
We want you to get out. But let's take it to the point of now you can't get out.
Right.
So what does that look like?
So hide is a horrific word. Hide is our enemy. Right?
Yeah, that's like the old hide and seek. If I don't see you, you don't see me. Right. Well, what are you going to do whenever he does see you?
Right. We want you to actively barricade, working as a team. Believe it or not, the four of us right now could barricade that door. If we work as a team,
sure,
we could barricade that door in under a minute. Mm-hmm. You grab those things, you grab this, I'm going to grab this, we'll grab that, barricade the door, and then spread out. The other thing is, if you can't lock the door, this is the other thing that I teach, and everybody get on the floor, right, and heels to shoulders, so on the floor, heels to the door, working all the way to that wall, that door will never be able to open.
Create a brace.
So if you are able to put a lot of cover in front of that door, so if you're able to put anything in front of that door, we want you to get high. If there's you know, a refrigerator you could climb on top of after the door is barricaded and there's no other egress, we want you to get high. We want you to spread out. The last thing we want you to do is stand right next to the door, because right, if you barricade the door with cover, right, there's a difference between cover and concealment, right? Buzz kind of touched on it. Cover will not stop a bullet, but it might slow a bullet down or might alter the trajectory, right? Concealment is you hiding behind a drapery, yeah, or a curtain. Yeah. That drywall right there, so if you put all of your cover against the door to stop it, which is what we want, we don't want you standing next to the door because that's all drywall. Mm-hmm. So change your levels, get high if you can, get low if you can, and wait for the police.
The thing I don't like about hide is it's a victimizing word.
100%.
You know, we had a military group come in, and that's what their commander told them they were going to do is hide. And you could see they were beaten. They were like, you're telling us to hide? So hide is a victimizing word. I want you to be proactive during this, because if you're proactive, you increase your chances of surviving. If all you do is hide and hope and pray that he doesn't find you, you're going to be in a world of hurt whenever he gets in there. And you know, the whole barricading and everything, that's not the end
right
of it either.
Right.
You got to start thinking, and I'm sure we'll talk yeah about that defending yourself part. That's the time to start looking for those improvised weapons and things like that. So
have another plan in action.
Absolutely.
And you're doing that at the same time.
Yes.
You're doing that at the same time. So what we're looking for is I'm holding up a mic stand right now, right? So the mic stand won't barricade the door, but that mic stand is heavy.
It'd be a good
and
tool.
It could be a great weapon. This umbrella that we have here right now, you know what? You can distract. You could break that OODA loop of the shooter with the, you know, as a last resort. And utilize that. That won't barricade the door. So as we're working as a team to barricade these doors, we're also working as a team to go to that next step that we hope we don't have to, but that's fight.
And the thing behind that is you know, some people say, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you better get in gear, because if that person is able to get into where you're at, their ultimate goal is to kill you. That's why they're there, right, is to kill you. And so at that point, you have a right to defend yourself. You have the right to grab that umbrella and shove it in their eyeball, you know? I mean, as graphic as that sounds, that's the mentality that you have to have at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to have that survivor's mindset of, mm-hmm, I am not going to be a statistic. And the reality is, and studies have shown this over and over and over again, and Virginia Tech's the perfect example. That's why Alice Training utilizes people who work as a group and work to fight together and utilizing those weapons, they have a much higher survival chance in this than an individual who hides under a desk.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So let's talk about fight. I said hide and you're like, no. So let's talk about fight. Is fight the word, or should we have our mindset focused on something else?
Defend, you know, survival. Fight sounds like there's rules applied, right, and things like right that. There's no rules in this, because the shooter or whatever they're using for a weapon, they don't necessarily have rules that they're going to follow, right? So we have to realize this is to defend ourselves, to go home to our families. You got to have that mental mindset of what's worth living for. Well, you know what? I'm not going out today. I'm going to fight with everything I've got, right? And there's no rules here. So I'm going to defend with everything I have, every inch, right? Every muscle. That's what I'm going to put forth to end this threat for me so I can go home to my family.
So in law enforcement for my 19 years, my mindset has always been I'm going to walk my daughter down the aisle, right? She's 19 years old now. That's my survivor's mindset. Yeah. There's nothing in this world that's going to stop that from occurring. I'm going to walk my daughter down the aisle. That's the survivor's mindset that you have to have. Now, fight is it a good word? Is it a bad word? Who knows? We want you to pick up every single thing that can be thrown, utilize everything at your disposal, and work as a team. Believe it or not, you could put a really good plan together, especially if you have those mental rehearsals that we talk about. Mm-hmm. If you have those mental rehearsals and you're looking and you're saying, okay, I'm not going to run into the bathroom. You know what? My area of escape is going to be here, 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 here. Here's my four different areas of escape. Okay, now I can escape. Here's what I'm going to utilize for barricading the door, right? That's the hide, right? The horrible hide. Here's what I would use to barricade the door. Pick a room that has a window that we can see, we could get to you. Sure. You know, pick a room, hopefully on the first or second floor. You could survive that if you work as a team getting out of that. That's another thing. Another piece of advice I always give is, how do you break a window? Nobody knows how to break a window. So you break the window in the corners and get out. While you're doing that, somebody else is barricading the doors, right? While you're breaking the window, I'll break the window. Buzz, you barricade the door. Eric, you grab those weapons. Dan, you do this. That took 12 seconds, right? And that's us not even talking about this. We start breaking the windows, and we all get out. And that's what happened in Virginia Tech on that last classroom.
A lot of times, they do rehearse in their mind on what they're going to do. They think you're going to act a certain way. You start acting contrary to what they had planned, they've got to come up with another plan.
Yeah.
So that starts buying you minutes or seconds that can lead to minutes, but that starts buying you that time to do something, right? To better your situation, whether it's to be able to get out of the area or whether it's to now work as a team and take the person down. So don't think that throwing that book at him is like, that's the dumbest thing in the world. No, he wasn't expecting that.
Right.
Correct.
You do something contrary to what they were planning, and they've got to come up with a new plan.
You talked about OODA loop. So yeah. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Observe, orient, decide, act. So it came out of the U.S. Air Force for fighter pilots, right? The fighter pilot that goes through their OODA loop first wins that dogfight. We do it every day. We do the OODA loop every day. We just don't know what it is. So a perfect example is you're walking along the street and you see a dollar bill, right? That's observed, a dollar bill. You go get up closer and you look at the dollar bill and it's actually a fake dollar bill. So now you've decided it's worthless to you. That's your decision. And you acted, you kept walking. If you had saw the dollar bill, and as you orient yourself to that dollar bill, and it's real, what are you going to decide to do? Are you going to leave it on the ground? No, you're going to decide to pick it up. So active shooters have an OODA loop, which they're looking for targets, and they're orienting, they're observing where those targets are. They're orienting on those targets, they're deciding, and then they're acting. If we can disrupt that OODA loop through any stimulus, breaks possible, throwing things, causing noise, breaking windows, whatever it is, we are giving them less of a chance to have a clearer sight picture where they're able to shoot somebody. So we want to disrupt their OODA loop through noise, through throwing things, through acting as a team, through jumping on them, through utilizing improvised weapons. Improvised weapons could be anything. I'm holding up a plastic cup of water. But if I threw that at you right now, you would react, and you'd react like this. You'd throw up your hands. And that's what we talk about disrupting that OODA loop. If I threw pennies at you, you would react. If you weren't expecting it, you would go like that. That gives you that second for everybody else to react and to take that person on.
And the other thing is we go through an OODA, and we're not talking about the shooter, just talking about the civilian that's involved in this, right? And so if we mental script, we can improve the speed of our OODA, right? So I always use the traffic scenario, right? Because North Charleston, we got traffic out the yin-yang, right? Yeah. So, you know, you see brake lights in front of you, what do you do? you put on the brakes. But it's that OODA loop, it's that process. You observe that the brake lights are coming on, you orient to it, you decide, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to put on the brakes, and then you do it. That's the act part, right? So in that traffic, though, we do it all the time. So we end up getting quicker at putting on our brakes whenever we do that. So we've been able to go through that OODA cycle a little bit faster. So if we mental script what we would do during these events, we're able to get that OODA loop going faster for us. Right. We're able to complete the OODA before the shooter does, and then we end up on the winning side of that engagement.
And that's 100% mental rehearsals, and that's 100% going through those mental rehearsals with your coworkers, with your fellow students, with your peers. You know, what would we do? Well, we want you to escape first. That's our number one thing. But if escape was not possible, what would we use? What room would we go to? What are multiple rooms? We don't want you to choose one room if you have to. We don't want you to say everybody goes into the break room. We don't want that at all. But what we do want to do is, let's say we had to be here and we were in the break room and we had to barricade the door. What would we use to barricade the door? Could we move that refrigerator up against the door? Refrigerators are great. I mean, you throw them up against the door, that's great cover.
Sure.
We're always in law enforcement, cover concealment. We want cover. And those refrigerators are great. Movable chairs, movable furniture. Move every chair. These are light chairs, but you know what? You throw them all up against the door. That's going to buy you those few seconds. And in a active shooter event, an active threat event, every second counts. Every second's an hour, right? And every hour is a day. You know, they almost, it's very rare. I don't know of any that have gone since Columbine that's gone over an hour. Right. They're usually within that 10, 8 minutes, stretch. 10 minutes.
Yeah, the violent part is over pretty quick.
Yeah, very quick.
Yeah.
8 minute, 10 minute, 15 minute. So you're buying yourself seconds with anything that you could do. And that's part of your OODA loop, is that mental rehearsals of what would I do? What would I grab? What is my weaponry?
And if I could go back a little bit to that, you know, barricading scenario, you know, you barricade into a room, but then you start looking, I call them secondary exits. You know, do you have a window that you could get out of? Do you know that on the other side of this wall, there's a stairwell that could you break through that wall to get to another room to give you access? So it's that mental scripting ahead of time, knowing your surroundings, situational awareness that we talked about earlier, to where, you know, you already have that plan in place. You've already kind of scoped out your thought process, not limiting it to one, like you said, because you never know where the situation is going to lead, right? But you have in your mind a plan that you're going to fall back on. So then you can start interacting with that part of it.
Right.
I think in regards to you're changing the environment, because if you change the environment, because like you said, active shooter, in theory, they have a script. They want to go to the most chaos as short as possible with less resistance. That's their goal.
Right.
So if we change that environment to any degree, like you say, from throwing anything, and that's a bonus. That's a bonus on our side, but it also puts us in a mindset that we have control, because we want control. We want to maintain control. But then if you talk about the three areas at the run, hide, fight, stage each one, talk to your staff. Okay, if we can run, this is what we can run. If we can't, what are we going to do? We're going to come to this room or going to go to this room. Look around them rooms. See what's there. Okay, we could do this. We could do this. Because if you talk about it, you won't think about it when that time comes.
Yeah.
So if I'm in this room, I know I got this. But if I go to this room, hey, what about this? Oh, yeah, we could do that too. And it's not just we. It could be a me. And then you got to be prepared. Me situation as well.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I can do is kind of break somebody out of that mental lock that you get, because you know, we talked about running to that wall, right? So somebody is standing there, doesn't know what to do. You start engaging with them, or you start doing something, and all of a sudden it snaps.
It's scripted.
We talked about this.
It's important. Yeah. It's important to talk about that we know this is going to happen, because that happens to police officers too. We have to do it to each other. Come on, man, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, come on. That your heart literally just comes out, and you freeze for a second, and that happens to everybody. So that's part of that mental scripting, that's part of that mental rehearsals, and that's part of understanding the survivor's mindset, and that's part, this all, everything melds into each other.
And it's interesting, because you can see it in our active shooter training. We do the classroom trainings before we do our live action shooter, and you can see the folks that have done that class compared to who haven't had that opportunity to take that class, or didn't sign up for it before. So we always do our three active shooter classes, and then we do our live action shooter later on in the year. But you can see, I mean, people most of the time, if they're on the first floor before, you know, that our actor comes in or after the first shot, they're already outside.
Oh, yeah.
They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, they're
yeah.
gone, gone.
Yeah.
You know, and then up, you know, on upper floors, they're trying to figure out how to get out and, you know, that type of thing. So it's interesting to see. And then, you know, we have people that go and hide under desks and they're yeah. like, well, we didn't know what else to do,
right.
you know, and it was like, right. and if you looked, you know, 30 feet behind them, there's a door to the outside. So it's very interesting to see how people react. It's very interesting to see when we do our trainings or they actually have that mental scripting or the mental rehearsals, mm-hmm. how that is very helpful to them.
And it's a life skill,
yeah.
right? So we're able to see who has really taken to that life skill. And they're going to carry that with them everywhere. And yeah. that's really what we're trying to build. We're trying to build that life skill because there is, like we said before, there is no one type of active shooter. There is no one type of active shooter location. It's varied.
It could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere.
And I think it's going to be the hardest part for some people is hurting someone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, even though they may be shooting at you, you're trying to survive. And you were talking about, I could use this, I could use that. They should go around to all these rooms and say, what can I use as
yep.
weapons?
Yep.
And be prepared because, okay, if I'm in this room, I'm getting this because I know I'm going to use this.
Yep.
And where am I going to do? I'm do my best to survive this situation because that is all you're thinking about, survival. And then you like to say control, but if you're fighting, you're controlling.
Right.
Because you want, long as you're fighting and you're controlling, you will survive.
Yeah, and I think it's a natural instinct not to want to hurt somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we're not designed to where we're walking around going, who can I hurt next?
Correct.
Right? So that is something that you really have to take a moment to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of like you said, walking your daughter down the aisle.
Yeah.
What's worth living for?
Exactly.
That, you've yeah. got to focus on that because might you take this person's life defending yourself?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, you may. But you have to realize you didn't ask for that.
No.
Correct.
Right? You were put in that situation. You were thrust in it. You did what you had to do to go home to what's worth living for.
Mm-hmm.
So understand that and be able to be okay with that. And I know it sounds easy, and it is. It's a lot easier to say it than it is to do it. But I think you really have to stop and take a moment to think, you know what? I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can because I've got to go home to my family.
And you can. That's the other thing we want to tell people. You can survive an active shooter,
Absolutely.
An active threat event. You can. Our goal is always to avoid these events. But when these events do take place, the individuals who follow these simple life skills survive. They really yeah. do. In event after event after event, there's individuals who, you know, we knew exactly how to barricade this door. We knew exactly mm-hmm. not to run into the bathroom because we couldn't barricade the door. We knew exactly to run in here, open up this window, and get out. We knew all of these things so that when it did occur, we were gone. We were out. We were mm-hmm. to safety.
So to jump into that as well with, you might get shot. You got to be in the mindset of, just because I'm shot doesn't mean I'm done, right?
Yeah.
We're not telling you that if you follow all these rules, you're going to survive as far as being able to get away and never have to worry about encountering a gunman. It may happen right in front of you. You may be the first one that's shot, right? But you can survive it. And mm-hmm. it's that mental mindset of, I can survive this. I'm going home to my family. I've got that survivor's mindset. Just because I'm shot, I'm not out to fight. I can keep going. I can keep doing things to better my situation.
In the law enforcement side, we call it the warrior mindset.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I was little story. I was in my office whenever we were, I had an office at City Hall and the movie theater was right behind us. And I'm in there late one night doing some paperwork and all of a sudden I hear gunfire and it's coming from the movie parking lot. And my first instinct was to jump up and run out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw others getting in their cars and driving and stuff. And I'm like, you know, it's that mindset though.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it. I had already thought about things that I would do during these events. And, you know, an active shooter instructor, you kind of get the benefit of going through scenarios and having that kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first thing is to get there immediately, mm-hmm. not run away from it, right?
But the best part, you just said experience. And yeah. that's what I think here in this podcast was what we're trying to say is get the experience. You may not have the realistic experience, but the more you guys work as a team to train, and the more you work as an individually of alternatives, what I could do here and there, that's experience.
Absolutely.
It may not be the experience in regards to, like I said, the real thing, but the more experience you get of alternative what you can and capable of doing, that's a bonus. Bonus.
Without a doubt.
This is not a test. MUSC's first emergency management and disaster preparedness podcast. I'm Eric Madrinsky.
And I'm Brian Wood.
Guys, thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely. Been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
This is not a test. Preparedness is a mindset.